Shalom and good morning. We are so grateful once again because of what God has done for us. We have continued to engage into the scriptures so that we can learn how to confront the spirit of guilt. The word of God says, godly sorrow brings repentance, but worldly sorrow brings death. Guilt is the spirit that makes one feel that he has wronged an authority. When you feel that what you did to an authority was wrong, spirit of guilt makes us to live all our lives fearing that the authority will punish us. We are afraid and we fear punishment. When we always see the authority, we want to run away because we are afraid that we will be punished by the authority. We have looked at a few things on how we can confront guilt. The book of Romans predominantly is a book that helps us to confront guilt. The spirit of guilt. You remember Peter, when he failed Jesus at the garden, or no, at the court of Annas and Caiaphas, that night when Jesus was going through a trial, Peter left that night weeping, feeling very bad because he had failed Jesus Christ. He said he did not know him. He denied him. And he lived with the spirit of guilt. Apparently, even after the resurrection of Jesus, and Peter had made Jesus alive, that did not remove the spirit of guilt. Even after Jesus had breathed the Holy Spirit upon Peter and the disciples, that did not confront the spirit of guilt. Even after Jesus had appeared to Peter and the rest of the disciples, not once, not twice, not thrice, at least three, four times. After resurrection, post-resurrection, that did not confront the spirit of guilt. Jesus intentionally visited Peter at the Lake of Galilee, and he made sure that he helped him to confront the spirit of guilt by asking him three questions. Do you love me more than these? And Peter would say, yes, I do love you. Then Jesus would say, feed my sheep. Do you love me, Peter? Simon Peter. And you remember, Jesus was using the old name of Peter. You know, when Jesus met Peter, he was not called Peter. He was called Simon, son of Jonah. It was Jesus who gave him the name Peter. But when he visited him that time, he was calling him Simon, son of Jonah, because he had already gone back to his original name, to his original nature. That's what guilt can do. Now, in chapter 6 of Romans chapter 6, verses 1 to 14, we want to learn three things. And tomorrow we are going to learn the fourth one. But we want to learn three things, how you can confront the spirit of guilt after you have come back home. But and because we have been using the analogy of the prodigal son coming home, I want you to realize there's a possibility that after the prodigal son came back home, he lived with the spirit of guilt. How do I know that? You see, when he made up his mind to to come back home, he had a script that he had rehearsed. And the script goes on like this. Father, I have sinned against you. That's guilt. And I'm not supposed to be considered, to be called your son. That's guilt. Consider me as one of your hired slaves. That's what he said, rehearsed, while he was feeding the pigs. And that's what he told the father. Now the question is, the story does not tell us how the father was able to deal with this guilt. All what we know is that the father accepted him and he said, you're my son, come back home. But there's a possibility, because we know now as believers, that you can come back home, but you still remain afraid of the evils you have done. This son had done bad things. He had asked for the inheritance, and that was equal in the Jewish culture to asking the father, when are you dying that I may get the inheritance? And so once he came back home, and he could have continued to remain or to be plagued by that guilt. Now when he came back, his brother also refused to accept him, refused to call him my brother, and refused to come for the party, refused to come to celebrate him. And that's another way to be reminded that he is guilty, because his elder brother was actually reminding him of what he had done. This son of yours quoted what you gave him with loose living. And those statements could have made this boy to feel very worn out. And so we asked also another question. Is it possible that you can take a street child from street life, but you bring him to your home, but the street boy continue with the street life in your own home? This possibility. Because dealing with the spirit of street life is the entire call of our lives. And there are those who take long before the street life. Yes, they are no longer on the streets or in the streets. You have taken them to your home as a family. You have even adopted them, but they continue to have the behaviors of the street life. Let me remind you this. When God saved the Israelites and they came out of Canaan, of Egypt, after 400 years of slavery, they died in the wilderness. 2 million people died in the wilderness, and they were killed by the Egyptian mentality, the slave mentality. They were not in Egypt, but Egypt followed them on the way and killed them and finished them. They were thinking Egypt. They were thinking of what they had eaten. And that, in fact, why they refused to get even into the promised land, when after the 12 spies went and came back, is because they said, we cannot. We better go back to where we came from. And they started looking for somebody to take them back. Why? Because they had not forgotten Egypt, although they were not in Egypt. And God said, so be it. And so this time, we want to learn three words that start with letter R that would help us to win this battle on our side, that would help us to fight the power of sin, the power of guilt, or the sin of guilt, ungodly guilt, worldly guilt, demonic guilt, the guilt that we are not accepted by the Father, which is not true. One thing, in the book of Romans 6, we want to get to know that that the Bible says, what shall we say then? Shall we go on sinning so that grace may increase? You know, here Paul is saying, do you continue with the street life even after you are under the grace? You have gone back home. Should you continue with the eat pigging or eating the food of the pigs, even if you have come back home? Then he says, by no means, no. For we are those who have we are those who have died to sin. How can we live in it any longer? So there's a possibility to continue living with the sin longer at home. You've come back, but you're still living in sin. Or don't you know that all of us who are baptized into Christ, we have been baptized into his death. We are therefore buried with him through baptism into his death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life. One of the things is that we must know what Christ has done. We must reason within our mind. It's about reasoning. Reasoning means it's a critical thinking. We're dealing with the mind here. The three of them deals with the mind. Then the first one is to reason. Reasoning means we ask ourselves, what has Christ done for us? Not what we did, or how did we get out of the feeding of the pigs? It's not because of anything good we did. We considered what our Father has done. We considered the goodness of our Father. And so here he's saying, we must know, we must listen with what Christ has done. And we must know that Christ died our death. We must know Christ was buried and we were buried with him. We must know that Christ was resurrected, and we were resurrected with him. We must know that Christ was ascended on high, and he took with us to the heavenly realms, and he sat us there. Now, that is very critical. That knowledge in our minds that this is what Christ has done. But number two, we must also accept that what Christ did, he did for us. That is reckoning. Reckoning is to consider that he died, so we died. It's not enough to know that Jesus died. It's also good to experience the death of Christ in our hearts, in our souls. When we consider that, when we say what he did for us, that word is called to reckon, is to take what he did for ourselves. Reckoning is very critical. And number three, we must resist the evil ways. We must no longer do what we used to do. We must not over. Look at verses 12. In the same way, count yourself. Now that's what you're talking about. Count, that's now the reckoning, verse 11. In the same way, count yourself dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ. That is reckon yourself. Count yourself as dead. But number three is we must resist. Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body. That is resisting. We must resist sin. We must resist the nature, the human nature, the old human nature. We must resist what we learned from the systems of feeding the pig. We remain in the systems of the world too long. And that nature, which we picked out there, we must keep on resisting it. Of course, we must resist by the power of the blood of Jesus Christ. We must resist by the power of the Word of God. We must resist by the power of the blood of Jesus. We must resist by the power of the Holy Spirit. We continue to learn after that. But tomorrow, we want to do the fourth thing that we must do to be able to win this battle of guilt in our lives. Father, give us the ability to know what Jesus you have done for us. Remind us that you died our death, but also help us to count ourselves as dead to sin, but alive in Christ. But also help us to reject, to resist even life of sin to reign in our mortal bodies. This will happen by the power of the Holy Spirit, by the power of the blood of Jesus. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.